जय राधम
द फॉलोइंग इज ए व्यास पूजा लेक्चर गिवन बाय हिज होलीनेस गोपाल कृष्ण गोस्वामी रिकॉर्डेड ऑन 19th ऑफ 2006 इन न्यू दिल्ली इंडिया
गोपी जाना बालाभ राधारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम ज्ञातिमिदस्य ज्ञानञ्जना चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश श्रीरूपं सग्रजतं सहगना रघुना तन्मितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सुवधूतं परिजना साहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण प्राण सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्विशं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते सत्त वंदा कपतर्व्याश्च कृपा सिंधु वैवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्त हरे कृष्ण इन चैतन्य चतुर्मृत We read that a devotee, even if he has love of God, he'll always claim that he doesn't even have a drop of love of God. So the nature of a devotee is not that he looks forward to glorification, not that he's anxious for glorification, but sometimes we have to tolerate this as an austerity in service to the Lord. In the Upadeshamrita, it is said, Vacha Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam Udara Prastha Vegam. Rupa Goswami gives us the qualifications for one who should be eligible to make disciples. And he says, one must have control over the mind, intelligence and senses. Rupa Goswami gave us many wonderful literatures, including Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Upadeshamrita. And I strongly recommend that your devotees study these books regularly. So in the Nectar of Devotion, which Prabhupada has presented as a summary of Rupa Goswami's elaborate Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has listed essential qualifications for making spiritual advancement. One, he says, is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Second, he says, to take initiation, then to serve him, then to inquire how you can make spiritual advancement, and then to give up what is detrimental for spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement should be our prime goal. Doesn't matter whether you are in the Brahmacharya ashram or in the Grihastha ashram. Sometimes we in India think the Grihastha ashram is a concession for sense enjoyment. No, if you want to go back to Godhead, doesn't matter whether you're Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, you have to follow a spiritual discipline. And the spiritual discipline is for everyone. So Prabhupada, the founder Acharya, gave us this, everything that we are teaching. Makhalal Prabhu, when he was speaking, he said that you all should serve the mission of the spiritual master and the mission of Prabhupada. I injected to say that actually this is Prabhupada's mission. The spiritual masters are his servants, and the grand disciples are also his servants. Our real business is to serve the mission of the founder Acharya. Now, the founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, had a burning desire to see Krishna consciousness established all over the world. Why? Because this was a fulfillment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire, Prithivati Acha Jata Nagaradi Gran, Sarvada Prachara Vaibhai Murana. As you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Ji, in the very first meeting in 1922, had instructed Prabhupada to take his teaching of Lord Chaitanya to the Western countries. Prabhupada also wanted India to take to Krishna consciousness. It used to give Prabhupada great trouble to see how Indians had deviated from their original culture. And of course, today we are in 2006. Prabhupada was preaching in India till 1977. But I can say safely that things in India have deteriorated 100-fold since 1977. I mean, things are deteriorating so rapidly. So, Krishna consciousness is the essence of the hour. And Bhakti Siddhanta Ji used to say that if at all there is a shortage of anything, it is this love of God. So this is Prabhupada's movement, it is his mission, and we are all servants, it is mission. And as servants, we are playing different roles. Some of us may play the role of a spiritual master, GBC, temple president, or a simple devotee, it doesn't matter. Krishna doesn't care whether you're president or GBC or what. He sees our mood of service and our sincerity. Somebody may be just washing pots in the temple. So someone may be a simple devotee. He may be a pot washer in the temple, just washing pots. But if he's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra sincerely, following the spiritual standards, he will go back to Godhead. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Puspam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakti Prayochati, that even if you offer me with love and devotion a glass of water or a tulsi leaf, I will accept it. So, the important thing is, having taken to the spiritual path, we must endeavor in such a way that we can develop sincerity, love, and devotion towards the Supreme Lord. It should be recognized that at the present moment, our hearts are contaminated, our mind is contaminated, our intelligence is contaminated. It was even more contaminated when we came to Krishna consciousness. But now, having come to Krishna consciousness, the contamination is gradually going down. And the contamination will disappear if we keep endeavoring on this path of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's conclusion is, devotional service is the only medium through which we can understand him. We just celebrated Janmashtami, and day before yesterday, we also celebrated Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. And we can see that Krishna appeared to establish Dharma, and Prabhupada, his pure devotee, also appeared to preach to us the importance of Dharma in this age of Kali. One of the characteristics of yoga is that people are quarrelsome, misguided, lazy, especially when it comes to spiritual cultivation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also described as the most merciful of all incarnations. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also described as the most merciful of all incarnations, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to give the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga a very simple and sublime path for making spiritual advancement, which is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So in this audience today, we have initiated devotees. In this audience today, we have aspiring devotees. In this audience today, we have friends of Krishna. Now, regardless of whether you're initiated or aspiring or a friend, everyone knows that the key to spiritual advancement is chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that there are three stages of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, or that there are three different mentalities with which we can chant the holy name. The initial stage is, of course, what is known as the offensive stage. And in this stage, one chants the holy name, but not too seriously. He chants, he's heard from devotees, chant. He says, okay, I'll start chanting. And initially, he may be inattentive. He may be following 1, 2, 3, 4, some of the regulatory principles. But then, if you keep chanting, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvasya Cham Hirdi Sannivishto Mataha Smriti Jnanam Apahanam Cha. I am situated in everyone's heart, and for me comes remembrance and forgetfulness. So when Krishna sees that somebody is sincerely looking for God, then he gives one the appropriate association and guidance so that we receive the true message of the Lord. And when you associate with devotees, when you read the books, you also begin to understand the importance of avoiding the 10 offenses or being attentive in chanting the holy name. As it is said, Bahu Janma Kare Yadi Shravana Kirtana Tabu Tanapaya Krishna Pade Premadhana. One may chant the holy name birth after birth, but if one is not attentive in chanting, then he will not be able to develop love of God. So we should not only chant, but we should chant around attentively. So attentive chanting of the holy name should be every devotee's prime concern. And if that is executed properly, you will see the gradual development of love of God and the elimination of the anarthas from the heart. The process for spiritual advancement has been very clearly defined by the Supreme Lord, Vyasadev, the sages, and Srila Prabhupada. I was once talking to Prabhupada about the concept of setting up a research institute, because in India, the tax laws are such that if you have a research institute, then the donors can give you 100% exemption. The donors can get 100% exemption. So I talked to Prabhupada about the concept of setting up a Vedic research institute. Prabhupada said, why? All the research is already done by Vyasadeva. All we have to do is follow him. We don't have to invent anything new. So that's a fact. Everything that we need to know, how to get out of the cycle of birth and death, how to do the love of God, how to find real happiness, how to perform the highest welfare activity, is already clearly defined in black and white, and we need to just follow it. And if this chanting is accompanied by regular reading of Prabhupada's books, that will enable us to make spiritual advancement. Rupa Goswami said, one should serve the spiritual master with faith and determination. So how does our faith eventually lead to determination? In the initial concept, we have some faith. But how does that faith mature in determination? This is also nicely explained by the great sage Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. His Rupa Goswami explains that initially we have Shraddha or desire or some element of faith that I must achieve love of God or my life should not be lived like the animals. I need to serve God. So if the faith is in the auspicious direction, then the Lord who is residing in the heart brings you in touch with the devotee of the Lord. And if our desire is to forget the Lord, then the Lord arranges appropriate facility so we can forget the Lord very easily. And when you come in contact with the devotees of the Lord, then you also come in contact with the real philosophy. The definition of a devotee is he presents the teachings of the Lord as it is. He does not concoct anything. You don't have to be a big PhD or Sanskrit pandit to be a devotee. You don't even have to know a word of Sanskrit to be a devotee. You have to practice the process of devotional service, and that will enable you to become a devotee. So when you come in contact with a devotee, you hear about the process of bhajana kriya, following rules and regulations, chanting, reading, etc. And as you follow the process, then there is anartha nivritti, as Rupa Goswami explains, which is the gradual elimination of the unwanted activities. Anartha means that which is not required, or that which is not essential. Just like, I have no doubt that everyone sitting in this room is a strict vegetarian. Now, many people who are meat eaters will think, or and even some doctors will say, you can't live without meat. If you live without meat, you'll die. Many times our devotees, when they have children in the West, and they tell the doctor, oh, we are vegetarians. Oh, then your child's going to grow up defective. You can't live without meat. But we have seen practically, our grihasthas have so many children in Western countries and in India, and we have seen practically even over here, you can easily live without meat. You can easily live without intoxication, gambling, etc. So to some, to live without this is inconceivable. But to those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, to live without these is very conceivable. So similarly, some of us may think that you can't live without lust, anger, greed, envy, hatred, etc. But the great sages have said, you can easily live without that. And as long as you maintain these anarthas, your spiritual progress will be retarded. You'll be like a retarded man. A retarded man is one who is handicapped, not capable of performing any activity. So as long as we have these anarthas in the heart, and as long as these anarthas are exerting their influence, we will not be able to find real happiness. Doesn't matter how much you succeed in material life, it doesn't lead to material happiness. It doesn't lead to real happiness. Real happiness can only be found if you engage in service to the Lord. I request the devotees sitting here and devotees following the program on the internet around the world is, please take the Krishna consciousness seriously. You are very fortunate that you came in contact with Prabhupada's movement. It's not that people will take in large numbers to Krishna consciousness. It's not that you judge the popularity or the genuineness of a movement by seeing how many followers they have. Prabhupada was once asked in Australia, he was asked, if your Krishna consciousness is so perfect, why isn't this hall fully packed? And Prabhupada said, when you're selling diamonds, only few will buy. But when you're selling imitation jewelry or something, thousands of people will buy. So it's not that people are going to gate crash to fall Krishna consciousness like they gate crash into a cricket match. We don't expect that. But only the very sincere will take to this process. And now that you've taken to this process, please take to it seriously. Some people take to Krishna consciousness casually. You meet people who've been chanting 4 rounds, 8 rounds for 20 years sometimes. Some people take the Krishna consciousness seriously. They say, I've come to this Krishna consciousness, I've found a gold mine, now let me polish the diamond. So polish this diamond. And the way to polish this diamond is by chanting, reading, associate with devotees. All of you live next to some temple or the other, and most of you want in there. And take advantage of the temples in your area. Visit the temples in your area, temples on spiritual basis. And engage in preaching. Krishna says in the 18th chapter of all the devotees, the dearmost devotee is one who always preaches my glories. So preach Krishna consciousness. We have various programs of preaching. We have Namahat programs. This was defined by Thakur Bhaktivinoda as a facility where the holy name is being sold or distributed. Then we have Bhakti Vriksha study groups. These are small study groups where devotees get together, discuss the philosophy. In many countries, we can't practice Krishna consciousness openly. We had Lalita Sakhi from Turkmenistan speak, and there are about 8-9 more devotees from that country. This is just an example of one country where you can't practice Krishna consciousness too openly. There are many other countries where you can't practice Krishna consciousness very openly because of various restrictions. But through the Bhakti Vriksha program, the Namahat program, today there are thousands of devotees in these countries. Thousands, literally. There's one Middle East country where we can't even use a khatal in a kirtan. But the preaching started in the country by one husband-wife team about 12, 14 years ago. And today, there are more than 1,000 devotees in our country chanting 16 now. So, the point is, here in India, you have no fear. You have no problem. You're not worried about, at least the government hasn't become so demonic as if you're Krishna conscious, they'll crush you. There's one big country. You can't, it's a huge population. But there we have to operate so secretly because we don't want anyone to know the number of people who are following Krishna consciousness. But in India, you don't have any of these fears. So if all your devotees in your respective areas of operation take the Krishna consciousness seriously, and even those living abroad, you'll take the Krishna consciousness seriously and preach, Krishna will make you glorious. Because Krishna says, there's no one more dear to me than one who preaches my glories. So I'm very grateful for the various offerings given by disciples. Whatever donations, etc., you give in Vyas Puja is used for Prabhupada's projects in India. And I'm also grateful for the offerings that you wrote and you spoke. A real offering of a disciple is if he takes the Krishna consciousness seriously. That is the real offering the spiritual master is looking forward to. The spiritual master is pleased when he sees a disciple making spiritual advancement, and he's displeased when he sees a disciple regressing spiritually. Just like a father is pleased when he sees a child growing up maturely, and if he sees wrong symptoms, then the parents are displeased. So my humble plea to all of you is, please take the Krishna consciousness seriously. You are very fortunate that you have received the seed of Krishna consciousness. But now you should make sure the seed is watered regularly so that this seed grows into a fruit tree and the tree produces a fruit called love of God. And as Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, anybody who bites on this fruit of love of God will become free from the samsara of birth and death. So please take the Krishna consciousness seriously. Sri Rupa Goswami has said, my dear friend, whatever price you need to pay the price, but become Krishna conscious. Just like sometimes somebody gets infected with a serious disease. Then to cure that disease, whatever price he has to pay, he pays the price, isn't it? So Rupa Goswami says, my dear friend, whatever price you need to pay the price, but become Krishna conscious. So pay the price doesn't mean you pay the price in rupees or dollars or euros. Pay the price means you follow the spiritual standards, and if you have to give up something because it is detrimental, then give it up, because you have a higher goal to obtain in life, and that is to develop love of God and find real happiness. So please take the Krishna consciousness seriously and give this to the others also.
Hare Krishna.